This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Cool guests coming up. Dan Fisher from Pitt. Larry Penley, my partner from Clemson.
Yep.
Made it historic W yesterday. We'll get into all that stuff. But you know, Wes, in this day and age of athletics, the word instability has been popping up all over the place, whether it's coaches, transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. I mean, the world is changing, right? So you're really looking to where you can find solid footing in this day and age. And I don't care what the sport is, but, you know, while there is a lot of unstableness in college athletics, the good news about the ACC, we've got some solid as rocked coaches and staffs in multiple sports in this conference, and they're all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting. We spent a little time, obviously, with the retirement of Roy Williams, talking about you know, what might lie ahead in ACC basketball with the five coaches age 70 or older, now down to four, obviously, with Coach Williams stepping aside. But you look at the basketball run here, okay? Jim Boeheim, 1,083 wins at 76. Mike Krzyzewski, 1,170 wins at 74. Leonard Hamilton, 600 wins at age 72. Jim Larrañaga, 642 at age 71. So that is premier stability. Boeheim, 45 years at Syracuse. K, 40-odd at Duke. I mean, it just pops off the page, right? Those are unique, though. We all recognize the uniqueness of that, right? I think where you go, when you mention stability, I think we got to look a little bit across the board here in the ACC and think of coaches that might be younger but also have had success and are showing the foundations of coaching career success. One of those, to me, is in baseball. You know, Dan McDonnell has brought Louisville in here and won four division championships since the Cards arrived in the ACC in 2015. He's done a phenomenal job. He did a great job prior to arriving at Louisville, and Mac's done great work in Derby City. Only in his early 50s, you see the stability of the Louisville baseball program and the impact that program has, too. And I think that speaks well of where that stability and where that legacy could be crafted, too.
Consistently good and still unfinished business, yep. Right? I think most Louisville baseball fans would tell you, yeah, we've been really good. We've won titles, but you know what? That one out in Omaha's got our name on it. And you know what? We've been there a handful of times, and one of these days we're going to show up and win that thing. And they are good enough to do it.
Yep.
Now, this weekend, I pointed out, we've got three baseball series involving ranked versus ranked ACC teams. Louisville, Florida State is one to keep an eye on. Noles are playing much better, ranked 17th. Louisville's ranked 7th. Again, Dan's done a tremendous job. And I think even amongst his peers, they would say, hey, you know what? The dude at Louisville has got it going on. But from a recruiting perspective, they put guys in the next level. They win championships. They're just really, really consistently good.
Yeah. Counter to the baseball is the softball success Lonnie Almeida has had at Florida State. National championships, and we have had six straight ACC titles for this program. Six straight.
Well, they've also got the belt, right? They got one of those natties. And I think when you get one of those, Wes, it puts you in a different stratosphere regardless. But they didn't just say, hey, we won one, so now we can chill. Lonnie and the girls continue to win at a record pace.
Yep.
And they are legit.
No question.
Really big time good.
Yeah. Let's go to lacrosse. We've spent a lot of time touching on lacrosse here today and the success on both the men's and women's side. And there are a couple of great examples. But in lacrosse, you've also got similarities to basketball. Older coaches who've established their programs, done a phenomenal job. John Desco's 63, John Donowski's 67. Kevin Cargan, who was with us earlier this week, is in his 60s. Lars Tiffany, though, has won the last time we staged the national title. He's in his 50s, Pack, and you got to believe that Virginia feels really good about where their lacrosse program is with Lars Tiffany at the wheel.
Without a doubt. And he's one of our favorite coaches on the program. Always interesting conversation. And even I would say, even for Virginia standards, it feels like they've been doing a little catch up. He's looking to get the offense getting a little bit more consistent. But in terms of the program, big picture, this dude's not going anywhere, and they are rolling. And we keep giving you the numbers of the ACC ranked teams: 1, 3, 4, 6, 9. Virginia's in that sixth spot right now, but don't think for a second that they're not capable of getting a championship and winning another one. And I think Lars Tiffany's expectations are, guess what? If it's not this year, it'll be another one coming their way. And that's, you know, that level of excellence and consistency, again, he has established that in Charlottesville.
Yeah, no doubt. And on the ladies' side, Jenny Levy, who was with us last week, is also one of those that has already had unbelievable success, 364 wins and 2 national titles. And, yeah, she's been there a while, but she's still relatively young. And you're talking about somebody that could run this race a long time and be really, really successful down the road, too. The stability of that program in particular shines on the women's side.
100% agree. And I thought what they did, they made a statement in that game against Syracuse last week, right? I mean, that was a 1-2 matchup on Saturday morning. And you know what? We're going to spot the Orange a 4-1 lead. And then all of a sudden, good night. They won 17-6, and that to me was a statement game. When you beat number 2 the way they did, it's going to take some kind of effort to knock North Carolina off the perch. But again, the ladies are loaded like the men. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 15. That's where they're ranked nationally on the ACC's women's lacrosse side. Really impressive.
Yeah. Handful of folks we could touch on here. We'll close with Tony Breske, who's done a phenomenal job at Wake Forest. They've won 3 of the last 4 ACC titles and a national title in 2018. Been there since 2011, still in his mid-40s. No reason to believe he'll be slowing down anytime soon, and likewise for the Deacons pack.
International players, American players, it doesn't matter. I mean, they go to Wake Forest and they become terrific. That's good coaching and good talent. That's a good combination, and they've got that in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, sure do. That's just a look. That's below the surface of the ones you already know. And wanted to highlight just a couple here from the terms of stability. It's been on our mind a little bit this week because of the departure of Roy Williams at Carolina and the focus we've talked about with those guys who've been there a long time in basketball and done it at a very, very high level. We will step aside here. When we come back, I was wrong earlier. Not the first show. The second show was Pitt volleyball coach Dan Fisher. And looking forward to having him join us. His team's on the way to the NCAA tournament. He's got the player of the year in Kayla Lunn. This long volleyball season still ends in a postseason trip for Dan Fisher and the Panthers. We'll come back and talk to Coach right after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer in Durham, Larry Penley, golf coach, greatest of all time, coming up here in about 15 minutes. But right now.
And that was before he had all the wins, by the way. He was still one of the greatest of all time.
That's exactly right. You're starting to figure it out, Wes. But right now we're going up to Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Because you think of this time of the year, the ACC's put 4 teams in the volleyball championships, which will be out in Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, you know Pitt's there.
You know Pitt's going to be there. That's a given. Dan Fisher joins us, front and center. Dan, good morning. How are you? How are we doing? Everything good?
Everything's great. We just finished morning practice, afternoon's off, so all is well.
All right. You know, the good news the good news is you're still playing, right? The good news is, hey, there's something to play for. In Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and that's not a given, right? That's with a smaller bracket this year. So we're happy to make the tournament and happy to represent the ACC.
Dan, full disclosure, we've had a couple of your colleagues in the league on with us this week. Both have discussed the length of this volleyball season, the fall piece and then the spring piece. It probably doesn't seem like 1 year. It probably seems like dog years in some respect, right? I mean, how long has it been? What have you learned from it?
Well, yeah, to me it does seem like 1 year, but maybe that's because I got used to playing in Europe where it is an 8-month season. You know, I think for our team, the fall was strange. There's just so much uncertainty about it. When the girls came back to practice – in the fall, you know, we didn't even know if we were going to have a season. We were in small groups of four. We were quarantining, getting used to testing. There's just a lot of adjusting in the fall. But since we've been back in the spring, for my team, it's felt a lot more normal. And we've just been focused on getting better. And I think our results in the spring have showed that.
We see on the screen five straight NCAA tournament appearances. It never gets old, though, does it, Dan? Especially in a year like this one, when you just have to be appreciative of really anything that comes your way.
I would double down on that statement. After we were 0-2 starting the year at Syracuse, someone could have told us we'd be in this situation. I think we'd be would have taken it. So yeah, we're not taking anything for granted, especially this year.
You also had a player make history. Kayla Lund becomes the first two-time ACC Volleyball Player of the Year. I guess it's easy to say what's been her impact on the program, but what has she shown you from last year to this year just to kind of keep it moving?
You know, she's grown as a leader. You know, she's grown. I think she's just made small adjustments in her game. I think her serve's a lot better than it used to be. But as a leader, I think she's a little bit more fierce. I think when she was younger, she was just kind of the little bit more happy-go-lucky. And now she's demanding of herself, her teammates, and she externally shows how much she wants to win.
Every year, different team, different vibe. What is it about this team, given what it's been through with the pandemic, now heading back to the Nationals? How would you describe this year's team?
Well, I think, of course, it's different every year. The main thing I would go back to, again, this is something we've prided ourselves as a program in, is to be a balanced team offensively, and we weren't necessarily that in the fall, but in the spring we've been really balanced. We've been doing a 6-2, so we have three front row hitters all the time, and you know what, so that's been something that on the court is really good. And then off the court, one of our focuses all year has been just to be really grateful and play for each other, and I think we're doing that. And so I like this team a lot, and I think we're still getting better. So excited to see if we can make a little run in the tournament.
All right, everybody gets to congregate in Omaha. What does what are your kind of expectations of that environment and that atmosphere for an NCAA volleyball tournament that's obviously at a different point in the calendar for the first time in a while?
The first thing I thought of, you know, years ago I coached in the NAIA where they would take every team to one side and you'd have multiple games going at the same time. And my first thought when they came up with this model was like, oh, that's going to be like the NAIA. You know, it's going to be the first few rounds are in the convention center. All these girls have played tons of games in convention centers from their club career. You know, there will be stands, there will be fans. So I think we're going to be fairly comfortable with the environment. And part of that is just because they played a lot in these areas. The other part is, I think if you can get used to playing in arenas with no one in it, it's a lot easier when there are fans. And so, you know, we've had a lot more fun this year and played better when there's at least been some fans in attendance.
Dan, did you think that we would get to this point? I mean, was there a spot during the fall, maybe even the early part of 21, that you said, man alive, how in the world are we going to get to the finish line with this?
Well, in the fall, there was definitely a moment where I lost hope, but I said, this isn't happening. But the springtime, I think, I think we felt like it would happen. There's always a fear of getting shut down, but definitely there was some moments in the fall where we were just going, what's going on here?
And that makes kind of make it incredibly difficult for student athletes and even coaches when you have that uncertainty of, hey, we still got to put in the work, even though the payoff may be there is no payoff. That's got to be tough.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing about, you know, having competition and having a goal. And, you know, when you're training for a game, it's different than training just to train. And I think that's something that helped us a lot in the spring, is that the girls knew the day they were coming back. They knew their first, you know, the first competition. They knew when the NC2A tournament was. They knew our schedule. And so I think that put some kind of markers on the calendar of, hey, I got to be playing my best at this point.
Hmm. Dan, I want to ask you about recruiting, because we just had Mike Norvell from Florida State on earlier in the program, and their football's kind of waiting on the NCAA to kind of give them some new rules and regulations on when they'll be able to recruit and maybe have some semblance of normalcy. For a sport like volleyball that I know it kind of goes at intervals throughout the year and some areas are more important than others, how critical is it to get that structure for a program like Pitt that's had great success year in and year out in a competitive league that's getting better like the ACC?
It's huge, and I guess I'll answer that in a couple different ways. You know, historically, volleyball is recruited pretty early. We're not allowed to to recruit till their junior year. And so we need to get right. This current class of sophomores coming into their junior year, we haven't gotten to see a whole lot of them live. So we're just recruiting off of video, which is fairly doable for the no-brainers, but someone on the fringe, I mean, you got to see them in person to make that final evaluation. And then I'll just kind of couple that with, you know, you're trying to decide whether to make a decision on a younger player, and there with all the extra eligibility. I mean, there's a lot of good players on the portal right now. So recruiting is definitely important, and it's an interesting time. So it's a challenge to decide, are you holding the scholarship for potentially a transfer or going for a younger player?
You get LIU next Wednesday to start things. What do you know about them?
Well, they're, they've been a good program for years. I'm friends with the coach. They do a good job of recruiting Europeans. I think it's pretty easy to tell a European, you know, get on the phone and say, hey, do you want to live in New York City for a couple of years? And so I think they take advantage of that. And so they're, from what I've seen on video, is they're very balanced, and they have a lot of players that, I guess I'll say it this way, they're good players that play within themselves. I don't think they're going to blow up with errors. So I think it's going to be a team that, you know, we're going to have to beat. They're not going to beat themselves.
Yeah, good point. Well, congratulations on making another postseason. Congratulations to Kayla as well. She's been with us a couple different times, always fun to visit with. And we appreciate you taking time. Good luck next week.
I appreciate what you guys do as well. Thank you.
You bet. Dan Fisher is the head volleyball coach at Pittsburgh, and thanks for his time as always. Pack, he just mentioned something that I think we lose sight of. We hear so much about the basketball portal. Interesting to hear a volleyball coach mention there are a lot of really good players in the transfer portal. It's not just basketball.
Right. It's like I keep telling you, everybody's entitled to do whatever they want. And I give Jeff Goodman a ton of credit, who handles the men's basketball, who runs a chart where he can tell you, you know, we're up to 1,314 guys or whatever the number is. Hey, if you want to do that, go ahead. But I have reached the point that it's like, I'm just assuming everybody's taking a sneak peek to say, hey, is it green? You know, the grass greener over there? Some are leaving, some are staying. Mm. I don't even know anymore. I don't even know how these coaches are doing it, Wes. It is as crazy a deal as possible. It's one thing to try to build your team. You keep everybody happy, playing time and all that stuff. And next thing you know, you wake up the next morning and three of your members of your team are gone because, hey, I think I can go play somewhere else. I mean, that cannot be in the best interest of all parties involved. It's great for the student athlete. You got more leverage and leeway than ever before, but there seems to be zero structure. And that is a problem. That's a real problem.
Well, I agree with that, I think, on the portal side for sure. And then I would counter back to what we've mentioned with both Mike Norvell and here with volleyball with Dan Fisher. There's got to be some guidance here from an administrative side of the NCAA to get recruiting back into some sense of normalcy. Because if not, I'll just say what Tom Luganbill said to us, good heavens, almost a year ago, Pack. We're going to be in trouble. The rising juniors, the juniors last year are the ones in football, I think, if I remember correctly, Luke said, would be the ones that would be at most peril here, right? With the extra year and then the recruiting and being shut down and things like that. So guys that would be seniors this year playing football. Think about it in other sports, though. Dan Fisher can't make a decision. He has to do what the easy ones are able to evaluate on video. Other ones you'd like to see in person. You got to be able to meet the people. Dabo Swinney talked about it. He had a whole recruiting class he'd never met. Dave Doran mentioned it yesterday. They're excited to have guys come in mid-year so they could meet them while they're already on scholarship. Think about the way these coaches have had to alter their entire program from a number standpoint. Oh, by the way, do I need to remind you, volleyball, baseball, all these other sports are not fully scholarship. They're not full scholarship. They're fractional scholarship sports, Pac. That makes it even more difficult because you have to decide how you're going to cut that pie up.
Yeah, it's every coach is earning every single dollar, I can assure you, because heads on a swivel and you don't know if you're coming or going sometimes. And that's why, like I said, as a fan sitting on the couch, hey, let me know when your season starts and hand me your roster. So then we'll have a chance to kind of figure out what you got, what you don't have. But it's a crazy time right now in college athletics.
No doubt. Don't forget, we got ACC softball coming up for you. It's always been nice to have this on a Friday afternoon, and we got it again. And actually on Sunday this week, too. 3 o'clock Eastern, this is the final ball game of the four-game set between number 20 Duke and number 10 Florida State. We got ACC softball for you Sunday right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, we will visit with the winningest golf coach in Atlantic Coast Conference history. Larry Pinley is next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. First round of the Masters is underway. And while the boys teed up there at Augusta, guess what? There's more hardware coming to Death Valley Tiger Golf because the one and only Larry Pinley made it number 82 yesterday when the Clemson golf team went down to Birmingham in the heart of the SEC and said, rear view mirror, boys, catch you later. There he is, head coach, greatest of all time, Larry Pinley. Congratulations.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're well.
We are good, man. I tell you what, ever since you announced retirement, the guys decided to start playing, didn't they?
Well, what in the world?
You know, you try to find motivation in a lot of different areas. I think we just found it. You know, let's go out and win one for the Gipper. So the golf we've played in the last month has just been fantastic, and it's really been fun to watch.
Larry, in all honesty, every time, you know, before we go on the air every morning, Pac and I will have five or six different little topics we kick into. And it seems like every other day we're talking about somebody from Clemson shooting 64 or 65. So, A, what's the meals been like on the road the night before? And B, boy, you must be doing a hell of a job coaching them up now.
I am getting them to their tee times on time for sure. That is my first priority. The guy who shoots the lowest score for the day gets to pick where we eat supper. So we have turned that into a pretty good competition, and it's been outstanding. I mean, it started really at the Palmetto Club about a month and a half ago, and the golf that I've seen has been some of the best I've seen in quite a while. So we're really excited moving into postseason.
So Larry, what is it? Is it a mental thing? Guys start making putts. Sometimes it gets, you know how it goes. You get contagious, good or bad, in this goofy game. It's so mental. So what is the secret sauce there?
I really don't know, other than the fact that this was the same team we were going to have last year. So we had to sit through last spring and not play. Then we had to sit through this past fall and not compete. And I have never seen a team more ready to play, more focused. They work so hard. We're literally six, almost seven deep. Unfortunately, we can't play but five. And it's a different guy every week. That's what's been so fun about this. This past week, a five-year starter, William Nottingham, is playing in the McKenzie Tour qualifier. So we take a junior from Gaffney, and all he does is finishes tied for third in the tournament this past week in a great field. So it's been somebody different every week stepping up. When three play well, they really can't beat us. When four play well, we're going to kind of boat race people. We have yet to get all five play well. When we do, we're going to win by 30. Mm. So I am looking forward to that day.
Well, all you got to do is tell me. Wait a minute. All you got to do is tell me you're going to quit by the weekend. There'll be a sense of urgency for all of them to get going.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. They've had more fun chasing these 82 wins. I mean, it's really been a lot of fun for them, and I don't know if it's made them more focused, but they've certainly learned how to win golf tournaments.
Very cool.
Larry, 82 wins is a phenomenal stat. I mean, it's over the top good. Jesse Haddock is like on this bar, and I mean, we all know where Jesse Haddock fits in the pantheon, right, of college golf. I mean, it's just, but to pass Jesse Haddock and to have this, I mean, did you ever think when you were with Packer two doors down and you were kind of getting started coming in off the mini tours that, man, I'm going to be around here for 82 wins?
Well, I still can't see Coach Haddock's bar. That's how high that bar is. And how much he meant to golf in the ACC, how much he still means to a lot of the stuff that I do, obviously a lot of the stuff that Wake Forest does. He has been the man and will continue to be the man. But he's made it easier for the rest of us to compete on a national level. He showed the rest of us that it could be done. So we're always in a, you know, in a big debt of gratitude to him, and he'll always be the best in the ACC. But it's been fun chasing these wins. Now, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I never really thought about it at first. I had always set a goal and a bar for me would be 80, if we could ever get to 80. And then we had the pandemic, and I'm going, you know what? It just might not happen. But the guys have really rallied. They've really found a way to get this done, and it's been exciting and so much fun to watch.
Larry, this week, Rory McIlroy was asked about Tiger Woods, and he said he went and saw him and talked to him, and, you know, you guys won 80-some-odd tournaments, and said, where are all the trophies? I only see the 15 majors. And Tiger said, I don't have any idea where they are, but I can tell you where the majors are. You've won 82 of these bad boys. Do you know where all the trophies are? I'm just curious.
No. I do know when, about 9-10 years ago, when we built our clubhouse, I found trophies in some of the craziest places. I still have trophies in my garage. There's one in the back of Heidi's car right now. So, I mean, we've got trophies everywhere. I do know where the ACC trophies are. I do know where the East Regional trophies are. And I for sure know where that National Championship trophy is. But those are really the ones that matter.
That's funny.
And we did tie Tiger this past week.
That's right. 82 is the number.
That was a big number to tie.
So funny.
Yeah. I would then ask, I'm gonna leverage your friendship with my friend here to say that, you know, would you be willing to part with one of the trophies just so Packer could display it in the basement? And I'm not asking for the East Regionals or the ACC or the Natty, okay? I'm asking for the mydogatemyhomework.com, you know, invitational that you guys might have won by like 34 shots playing down at Raccoon Run or something like that at the beach. I'm not asking for anything of any substance, if you don't mind.
He can come up here and take his pick. He can come up here and pick whatever trophy he'd like to have.
Well, I'll tell you what, big boy, I am coming to Clemson this afternoon. As a matter of fact, I will be there. In fact, me and Mrs. P are road tripping down the I-85. And I may just stop by and grab some hardware on the way out of town.
Yeah,
you're more than welcome. I've got some sitting in the floor in my office right now.
All right, I'll keep it up. By the way, you know, when you win number 83, Larry, you get to keep that orange blazer, which is over your left shoulder. All right, I just want to let you know, you don't get a chance to have it as a display item. They actually tailor that for you when you reach 83 Ws. For Clemson Golf. So I just want to pass it along to you.
No, I appreciate that. We actually did that blazer. That blazer was for the 10-year NCAA championship reunion. And we got all of them an orange blazer and had a nice championship patch put on it and brought them out on the field at the football game. It was really a lot of fun. I have completely outgrown mine. That's why it's hanging up on a display.
Well, I tell you what, that might even look pretty good here in the in here.
I don't know if you want to get up that orange
blazer, but I'm just saying, you know, whatever you need to get cleaned out of Heidi's car or the garage or the basement or over at Radakovich's condo, I'll just load it up on the back of the Ford F-150 and bring it home with me tonight. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
I think that orange blazer would look awesome in your office.
Yeah. Well, there you go. If you're willing to give it up, well, I will display it in here.
Hey, Larry, it wouldn't look awesome on him because he couldn't get in it either.
Well, I know.
Right. I understand all that.
Hey, listen, I didn't earn the right to put it on, but I did earn the right to put it on national television. That's how I look at it.
Listen,
like I told you, back in the early 80s when Larry started this thing, they didn't look at me and say, hey, Pac, we need you to win a tournament this week. They said, listen, when we win the tournament, you make sure the cooler is filled with cold beverages when we get back. You got to know your role. You got to understand. You got to know how this works.
Okay.
And you
did an excellent job, outstanding in that department. Now, breaking 75, that was a problem. That was a problem.
All right. I want to jump to this because what you've done here in the spring is you've bought yourself the role of the favorite at the Crabapple course in Atlanta for the ACC championship. How good is the rest of the league playing? This is a venue the ACC's not come to very often, and I know they played the NCAAs a couple of years ago at this track, and it proved to be a monster. What do you expect when the ACC tournament rolls around here in a couple of weeks?
Our goal coming into this tournament was to get in that final pairing. I know how good Florida State is. I mean, they've been ranked number one most of the spring. Early spring, Wake Forest was ranked number one. I know how good they are. Coach Haas has juggled his lineup. He's kind of pulled the reins back on his team a little bit. Florida State is fantastic. And our goal was really to be paired with them for that first 36 holes and kind of get caught up in their draft and make sure we make this match play deal. But it's going to be exciting. I mean, we did have the regionals there. Gosh, it's maybe 7-8 years ago. And we played there in the regionals and finished second, I think, to Oklahoma State. I'm familiar with the golf course. It's a big boy track. You're going to have to hit driver. You're going to have to hit the ball in the fairway. As good as the weather's been this spring, the bent greens ought to be fantastic. So we're really looking forward to getting there. Our league is loaded again. I think there are a lot of different teams that could sneak in there. Everybody's just trying to get to this match play deal. This is a whole new deal for us. You know, we're kind of playing through all this, but a lot of teams right now are playing well. Notre Dame is playing well. Louisville's playing well. Virginia's playing well. North Carolina and Duke and NC State are playing exceptionally well. NC State, I think, has won their last two tournaments. So, you know, it's going to be very competitive for those four spots. And then once you get to match play, anything can happen. So we'll just see how it goes.
Last thing for me, Larry. You know what? When we met for the very first time back in the early 80s and became buds, and you took over for Bobby Robinson, who went on to become the athletic director. What in your head was floating around in terms of what would have been a successful career for you when you took over? I mean, I know you're looking forward because your team's playing great and rightfully so, but when you started, what would you have said was, you know what, if I can get 5 years out of this, 10 years out of this, I mean, you tell me.
I actually did everything I could do to not get fired in the first 5 years. Let's just keep the job, okay? Then I kind of wrote about a 10-year plan. One of those was to win an ACC championship, and we won it in 4 years. So we kind of changed that a little bit. Then we made another 15-year plan, and including in that was a national championship, and we did that. And I wrote one more 10-year plan. So I had really planned for 35 years. I've been here 3 years longer than I had planned to be. When people always think that you know, we've done all these great things with our program, the year I took it, we finished fifth in the NCAAs the year previous. So when Mr. Robinson handed me the keys, it was almost like, you know, try not to mess this up. you know, because we've got it going pretty good. And we did have. We had a bunch of great players. The culture was fantastic. There was not a rebuilding process that needed to go on. It was just let's maintain, let's continue to work hard, let's get good people in here, and let's see how good we can be. And that's really what we've tried to do.
Larry, you know what? And I've kidded around on the air about this, and John Rittman, the softball coach, has been on. And I said, you know, we used to hit golf balls down that third baseline now where the softball field is. It's amazing to see where this program was when I was goofing around with you guys. And, you know, basketball, hey, that was lush, man. Let's go play it, right? And now look at the facilities, the quality of players, the accomplishments. I mean, you've done an absolutely incredible job, and I couldn't be prouder.
Well, I appreciate that, and I owe it all to our guys on tour. You know, once they got out there and once they started having success and winning, you know, their ability to give back to Clemson and to give back to the golf program made our facilities what it is today. And, you know, you have to give a shout out to the Cliffs properties, to the Reserve, you know, and instead of having to play at Boscobel, which I love Boscobel, and I'm probably going to play there tomorrow. But some of the golf courses that we get to play are the best in the country. And that certainly helps our golf team as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you've done a great job. Proud of you, man.
Larry, before we let you go, a moment ago on this show, we have a segment that's corporately sponsored by Dish. By the way, you may have seen our commercial. And we do this thing called True False. And the producers write the question. And the question was true or false. To celebrate his record-breaking win, Mark Packer will break out the clubs for a celebratory round of golf with Larry Penley.
Wow. I'm in.
Do you want to go true or false? What do you want? Oh, we got a true out of Larry.
Well, Larry's
in. We got a
in.
True out of Penley, Packer.
You know, I got one leg. I got one good knee, and I still have the same clubs, Larry. Last time I played, I might have played with you. Still got the same clubs.
I would do it. I would do it, but I think the answer to the question is false.
You know what, Larry? I got to be honest with you. I envision, you know, here on the ACC Network, we're always looking for exclusive and valuable content. I'd like to mic you, Packer, and Cobb Oxford up for like a nine-holer if I could figure that out one day. Could we
let
do
me
that?
Tell you something.
I am definitely in for that.
And let me tell you what. Let me just say,
awesome. That's all
let
I
me
wanted to
say
know.
One thing about that. That content right there could not be seen or heard on ACC Network. However, that content right there would be very appropriate for Sirius XM Radio. That's how that deal would work right there.
There you go. Okay, good.
That's
all
how
right.
That would work.
All right. Coach Penley, congratulations. Vicky said congratulations. We look forward
Thank
to seeing you,
Miss
you soon.
And I forgot. I need to get this in, or I'm gonna regret it later. I still think the favorite in Atlanta is Georgia Tech. I'm gonna go ahead and put that on my buddy Hepler right now.
Talked to him last night.
Bruce is not gonna be a very welcoming host, and he's still the team to beat.
Yeah, they're good too.
Yeah. Okay. No All right. Nice motivation piece. I like that. That's why you won them 82 tournaments, son.
Hey,
that's
by the exactly way, right.
Well
hey,
done.
By the way, what time do you want me to come by and pick up my blazer for the studio? Just letting me know.
Let me know when you're here.
We're getting
I'll meet
trophies.
You at the clubhouse.
All right, I'll call you.
Oh,
I'm
Lord,
heading down there today.
Look at that.
Perfect.
We're going to get, I want to tell you what, we're going to get the 1991 championship from the Gator Growl Invitational or something like that. It's going to look great on the shelf. Thank you, Larry. Be well, my man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Larry Penley, you bet. Anytime. That was awesome, as usual. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will recap the Masters draft because you cannot watch the Masters coverage without knowing who we've picked. You know why? Because the hilarity has already started. The picks are in on Packer and Durham next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, fun show, as always. Great guests, good times. And the Masters is underway at Augusta.
It is. Is this the part where we start talking very softly?
No.
Like this?
I know you want us to do the ACC Golf Championships. I know that that is on your bucket list of us doing that.
Okay. Let's go to the 18th and Packer.
Hey, Larry, where are we going out to dinner? Oh, I'm sorry. Are we on the air?
Jeez.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's how that
we're talking about you in a rowboat. We're talking about you in a cross-country cart with a commissioner.
Yeah.
Let's see. Right. What else have you walked yourself into?
I don't walk myself into it. I want to do it. Now, I don't want to hang out with man Adler, you know, surfing with sharks. I mean, Mike Adler at Duke now today. That I'm telling you, the second the big toe hits the water, you are the visiting team. And we're talking to a Duke guy, who a well-educated, smart guy, great player. And you heard the story. Gets bitten by a shark.
Mm-hmm.
His buddies drop him off at the hospital and go back, say, hey, catch you later. You'll be all right. Put some dirt on it.
Yeah.
And he couldn't wait to get back out there.
That might be my favorite part of the story, by the way. That was my favorite part, is his friends dropped him off at the ER and then they took off.
Yeah, going back. Go back to
thank you, Mike Adler from Duke Lacrosse, fantastic, great guest. Dan Fisher, Pitt Volleyball, good luck to them next week in Omaha. Always enjoy Coach Fisher's thoughts. Mike Norvell, sensational. Florida State's Garnet and Gold game Saturday, 5 o'clock, right here on ACC Network.
Yep.
Charlie Reimer helped us with our Masters picks.
Yep.
Do we have those? We have those posted, by the way. Have we done
leaderboard?
Pack took Webb Simpson. Oh, look, here we go. Look at this. Drew Brooks, by the way. Will Zalatoris from Wake Forest with Justin Thomas. Reimer panned Josh Macri's selection of Rory McIlroy. And then I've got late-breaking information that Brooks Koepka can't bend at the waist, so I'm not feeling very good about that pick.
Yeah,
I like Dustin Johnson. Yeah. Mark Packer has Webb Simpson and Jordan Spieth. Charlie Reimer, by the way, also a very late entrant into the pool. We'll see if he is able to be eligible for the prizes.
He is.
Matt Kuchar and Patrick Cantlay. Okay, yeah. There you go.
Great. What a weekend. What a great weekend coming up. Tomorrow's going to be a blast, but, man, it's a great, great sports weekend. You got football. You got every Olympic sport known to man. You got the Masters going on. I mean, it's a great time of the year. Great time.
Yeah. Good show tomorrow. Sue Semeraal, who is back now as the head women's basketball coach at Florida State after a year away, will join us. And Mike Johnson, Notre Dame's volleyball coach as well. Thanks to Drew, Josh, Meg. You did a very adequate job drawing for the
Better bracket, than adequate. She was spectacular. Spectacular. Wasn't adequate. She was great.
Have a great day.
Great.
We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. on ACC Network. Take care.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.